And has it started? Do I need a signal or it started? Okay, very good. All right, well, welcome everybody to our OSC meeting, our Operations Steering Committee meeting. I'm sorry I didn't send out an agenda, but it's a fairly simple agenda. We have one main item, which is this toolkit of services recommendations that you have a hard copy of and that I sent out on the 18th, a week ago today. That's our main item. Beyond that, unless other people have business they want to add, we will look at the communications team status as well as the constituency operations team status from Olga, and then Ray's here for the council operations team as well, and they'll have an update. But our main item is this one item that I'll explain a little bit. Now, just if everybody would just glance around the room, has everyone met Rafiq, who is a new council member, but he's also been on the constituency stakeholder group operations team? Okay. Maybe for his sake, have you met all the people in the room, Rafiq? Should we just go around real quickly and give names? Is that helpful? Okay, let's do it. Let's start with Ken, and we'll work our way around.
We met at the airport and rode a bus together. Ken Bauer from the policy staff.
Philip Shepherd from the business constituency.
Tony Holmes from the ISPs.
Wavo Rikinobin from the ISPs.
Steve Metallitz, intellectual property constituency.
And that's Mason Cole from the Registrar constituency. And I'm Julie Headland, ICANN staff.
Ray Fassett from the operations work team.
Michael Young, registry stakeholders group.
Rob Hogarth, ICANN staff.
Chuck Gomes, the chair of the OSC.
Olga Cavalli, chair of the constituency operations team from the GNSO council.
Okay. Now, just so that I know, and I'm not trying to put people on the spot, but it's mainly to know how much detail we need to go into. How many people were able to read, at least skim this doc? Anybody not able to skim this document before you got here? You haven't. Okay, so we probably should give a little more background. Now, I'm going to warn you in advance. The issue that we're going to deal with in this, I'm going to ultimately, in terms of any decisions we make as a committee, I will be recusing myself because I'm the one that caused the trouble, so to speak. You'll understand that better as we go through this. And so I don't want there to be any perception of a conflict in terms of the decision of the OSC. That's why I was glad to see two more people show up so that the rest of you can really, come back with your honest evaluation of the decision. And what I'm going to ask is for Olga, as chair of that working team, to briefly give a little bit of background of the situation that we're dealing with and that hopefully the OSC can provide some direction on.
Thank you, Chuck. Glad to do that. Just as a background, let me remind you that which is the two main tasks that our working team must work on. One is enhance existing constituencies by developing recommendations on constituency participation rules, operating principles, and database of members. And the other task is develop a global outreach program to broaden participation in current constituencies. What we have been doing, we have 12 members in our working team. It's kind of an active working team. I'm the chair and Michael is vice chair. And Chuck is participating also. It's Rafiq. And who else is here from our working team? Krista. Hi, Krista. And Julie also. And Robert. We divided our first task in four subtasks. The number four is the one named develop a toolkit of in-kind staff support and or services for all constituencies. And this is the document that you have a copy, and we have already submitted it to the OSC. Although our charter does not specifically mention about that we must deliver all our outcome documents together or separate, we found value in sending this document as a separate one. In the meantime, we finished developing other subtasks that we have agreed to do. That I can read them if you want, but I don't think there is a lot of sense in doing that now. We thought that this toolkit of in-kind staff support was interesting for you to have it in consideration for other working teams in the OSC and also for being submitted to the GNSO. We have some discussions in between our working team if it was good or not to send this document as a separate one or not. The reasons were different. Some members of the working team thought that perhaps, as we did not reach final documents for recommendation, it was not logic to send this toolkit of in-kind services first, and some others thought that it was useful for going on. So we work under our charter, which establishes the rule for rough consensus. We made that process, and we had 8 members for sending it as a separate document and 4 members against. So you have the minority report in the document also, if you want to read the reasons that they found for not sending as a separate document. So this is why we submitted the document to the OSC. And today in the meeting we had in the morning, I don't know if it's morning or night for me, because for me it's 4 a.m. in the morning. sorry. For example, with other subtasks, we had an idea of also submitting it as a separate document. We haven't made a decision about that yet, but that may happen also with other subtask 1.3, which is developing recommendations for creating and maintaining a database for all constituency members and others not formally part of a constituency that is up to date and publicly accessible. So that's the situation of our work. We are dealing with 3 other documents that should be ready perhaps in some weeks, perhaps in 1 month. But this document is already for your revision and for your comments. I don't know if you had the chance to review it, or you want to ask, or you want me, or perhaps Julie can help me in reviewing the content of it, or which is the genesis of it, how we got to this text.
So let me open it up for questions of Olga. Okay, it looks like Philip has one.
I'm just skimming through this document and amazed to find there's a 3-page minority report and another minority report of what was supposed to be a list of voluntary services, which strikes me as just bureaucracy going bloody mad, if I can use that somewhat strong expression. Can you explain to us the nature of these disagreements and why it manifested itself in something as much as a minority report of a subgroup reporting on voluntary services?
Like I said, I'm gonna play a backseat role because I was the one, because Julie and I worked on the draft document and the full working team reviewed it for the toolkit of services, and I mistakenly thought it was a pretty simple thing to separate from the rest and send it on forward so the services would be available sooner rather than later. But because I'm the one that recommended that, I'm going to ask others on the work team to comment on that.
I'm happy to take a shot at commenting on that. As diplomatically as I can state it, there was at least one work team member who seemed to expand the scope of what we were trying to do beyond what we were tasked to do. And there were many GNSO-related issues, concerns discussed on the call that really didn't have anything to do with what we were tasked with. And I think Olga did a lot of very difficult work, and frankly, I think I did some difficult work, too, along the way, trying to keep people back to the topic at hand and getting them to produce. And I think this...
And to be clear, that individual is the one who did the first minority report?
No.
No?
No. Okay. I mean, you can look at our minutes at Victoria. There was a constant tension and pressure in the group around these sort of discussions, which, frankly, ate up a great deal of our working time on the calls. And both Olga and I have become more and more assertive, if you will, or about shutting down conversations during the calls that weren't on our agenda or didn't have to do with the work at hand. And I think what you're seeing in these minority reports is some expression, and this is only an opinion because I can't read someone else's mind, is an expression of frustration because we didn't want to go into certain topics or discussions if we weren't tasked with them.
Thanks.
Other questions? Steve.
Well, I was just wondering, since one of the – there are three minority reports here.
And one of the people that submitted a minority report is here.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if Rafiq wanted to say anything or not, but if he did, we certainly welcome his input. That, as I read these, there's a procedural issue, which is this wasn't ready to go yet and shouldn't have gone ahead of the other things. I'm paraphrasing here. And then I'm trying to figure out what the substantive issue was, and I recognize that Rafiq's minority report was mostly focused on the procedural aspects, and I don't know if he wants to add anything to this, but I'm really kind of at a loss to see what the substantive issue is that gave rise to the minority report.
Rafiq, perhaps you could give us your thoughts about your minority report?
So, as I explained, my minority report is more about procedure issue. It's not really about the report itself, because I think that it's important that we send all the reports related to the same task. And the main issue for me is that if we need some review or update, so it can be more complicated to do that.
Wolf, go ahead, and then Tony, you can be next.
Well, I just went through this document, and was a little bit surprised from my experience with the other working teams. So I cannot understand really what's going on. So is it just that you have a deadlock right now, so in your work team that you cannot go forward, or you don't know how to proceed with this item anymore? I remember in our group we had also a task or one item which we discussed heavily, and we could not find an agreement on that. So at the end, okay, the agreement was just delivered to the OSC and to the OSC members if the OSC agrees to deliver that. That document, and it's fine. If not, okay. So we cannot do anything more. So I wonder what's going on. Do you need advice from us how you should proceed in future? Or I'm not really sure about that.
Wolf, if I may explain, we. Most of us in the working team thought that it was a good idea to send it as a separate document. It could be useful for other working teams and for the OSC. At the same time, three individuals had the right to include their minority reports. So this is why they're included there. And this is why the document came out and was sent to the OSCE. The issue of not producing all the documents together was a very long discussion in the working team. And finally, as I mentioned before, we worked under a rough consensus idea, and we had eight individuals in the working team for sending the document as a separate one and four against it. And we thought we achieved rough consensus, and this is why we sent it with the minority reports. This is more or less the process. Perhaps Chuck and Michael can add something to that.
Yeah, just to make sure everybody's clear, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Olga, but the content of the report is not at issue here. The recommendations are not at issue. What's at issue is whether a part of our task, one part, should be sent ahead and moved through the process before all of the work is done. That's really the issue. Is that correct, Olga? Okay.
Chuck, if I may, and taking your question to our working team, perhaps you, OSC, could give us some piece of advice in relation to this idea of producing partial documents or not, if you think that that's something which is good, that may add value to all the process, or you think it's a nonsense.
So there's and just one more comment. What I want to do after we deal with a specific issue is there's a principle involved here that might be helpful if the steering committee gave some advice on with regard to whether or not it might be helpful, because we know subtasks take different amounts of time, right? So that principle we'll talk about later. Wolf, you would wanted to follow up on something after Olga, and then we'll go to Tony.
Yes, just for clarification. So as OSC members, we could use it. We could make use of it, or we could also wait for the input of the other documents. So it's open to us. That's what I understand.
Sure. Remember, the role of this group is to be a coordinating facilitator for the whole, all three work teams, and so that's it. Tony?
Well, just to comment as an OSC member on the issue of whether documents should come together at one time or whether we should submit them separately. Just prior to this meeting, the other group that was working in this room was the ops team, and one of the issues that we discussed surrounded the election of the council chair, and we recognised during that discussion that some of the issues that we're talking about could change that process. So if we adopted the approach of waiting for everything to be finalised, we couldn't even sit the new council because we couldn't elect a chair. So the decision that was taken was that we will go ahead with the rules that we have, and if they're amended and, let's say, the election of the chair isn't straightforward and it takes a longer term, then if the rules change, you play by the new rules. So I think holding back on the basis that we have to wait till everything is completed is totally unworkable. And as an OSC member, I really support the process where we go forward as quickly and as far as we can on the documents that we get from each group.
Philip.
Yeah, I concur, I think, with that, with a general principle. I mean, Subtask, we created a structure. We had a whole bunch of tasks to do. You break them down into small pieces. The principle behind that idea is that as those pieces are done, they rise and they come up, and you tick them off, and you've done them, and you move on. You know, otherwise, you'd never complete anything. So I think in terms of the basic principle, it seems right when each group feels it is ready on a ring-fenced task to submit it. The only reason against that would be if a strong case can be made that there is such a linkage to another part of the group's work that in fact you're only getting half the story and you then get a misleading information being submitted, then I think there's another reason. And you know, please, anybody around here speak and say if there is a an overriding connection with other parts of the subgroup's work.
Steve.
I would concur with what both Tony and Philip said. I think it's inevitable. We've seen many other examples in this process that pretty much everything that's done is provisional in the sense that it might have to get adjusted later. And maybe that could have been avoided in some ways by changes in how the whole GNSO improvements activity was launched, and maybe it couldn't. But in any case, I think it's just a fact of life. And I think Rafiq's point is a valid one, that we should make sure that ideally we would not put advanced reports that might have to be adjusted later. But I just don't think there's any way to avoid it in this process, because there's too many moving parts and too many different groups to say we have to achieve total perfection on one before we can send it forward. So I would certainly agree on the substance of what people have been saying.
Thanks. Vanda, would you like to comment?
Just to agree with the others, this is really a process, and if we don't start, there is no end, really. And so we need to approve and go forward, because in the end, certainly, we're going to make some minor changes, but it's unavoidable.
Any other questions or comments?
I guess just to clarify where we are in this process, if it sounds as though there certainly is a consensus in this group to accept this report on subtask 4, even though the other parts are not ready. And I just wonder, do we want to discuss the substance of this report, the contents of this report, or is there some action that we need to take as far as that goes? If let's assume that we say, okay, having read the minority reports, we nonetheless accept this report. Is there something else that we need? Is it appropriate then to talk about the substance?
Sure. And we can do that one of two ways, at least. We can make a decision, first of all, whether to go ahead and accept it, and then I think it's very appropriate for us. We could take advantage of our time here to decide whether or not we're ready to forward it on to the full council for consideration. So you're right on track on that, and then of course we would want to talk about substance. So that's perfectly okay. Now, would you rather talk about the substance before we make a decision on going ahead and accepting it? Or go ahead.
I guess my suggestion would be, and if it's necessary, I'll move that we accept this report and thank the working team for preparing it, and that then we move on to any discussion on the substance of the report before we send it on to the council.
Okay. Anybody opposed to that?
Yeah. No.
No. Okay. All right. So then let's talk about the substance of the report. Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I just had really one comment. If you look at this chart on, I guess, the second page, which has a number of different services that could be offered, it strikes me that one of these doesn't fit with the others. If you look at number 8, providing grants and funding for constituencies to provide their own support, that's really a question of how these other things would be done. So, for example, if you look at number 2, support for organizing face-to-face meetings, kind of a meeting planning function. So a lot of people thought that would be a good service to provide to constituencies, stakeholder groups, whoever. But the question is, should that only be provided by ICANN staff, or should it be possible for a constituency to say, we'll bring somebody else in, we'll engage somebody else to do that. You give us the money, basically, that otherwise would have gone to the staff to do it. So it doesn't, to say that, we'll do the first 7 things, and then if we have funds, we'll go to 8. It is a little bit of a disconnect there for me. I don't know if number 8 is worth doing, and I happen to think it is, then I think it probably should apply even if, we only can phase in the first 4 items or something. Because this is all listed in priority, as you see later in the report, this is kind of in priority order. and that's fine, but it seems that number 8 doesn't really fit in that matrix. If 1, 2, 3, and 4 are worth doing, and we have the fund, we have the funds for that, then I guess there should be the possibility of a constituency or stakeholder group saying, thank you, we want number 2, but we want to do it ourselves.
So what would your be your recommendation and a possible change for the way this report is presented? I assume it's not just deleting 8 from the table.
No, it would be basically to say that to the extent that if you look at the recommendations, where it says as soon as funds are available and any prerequisite actions can be taken, you could almost remove G from there and just put in a sentence at the end that any services that are offered should be offered either through ICANN staff or through grants or funding to constituencies to do it themselves.
Did you capture that, Julie? Okay. Philip?
I'd like to agree completely with Steve on that. It's an implementation issue that is up to ICANN to do. Now, whether or not they choose to spend the money on their own staff and provide that service or find, in fact, is more cost-effective to simply make a grant to a constituency, I think is purely an ICANN budgeting decision once they've taken the decision to support certain services that have been recommended. And I think that's exactly right. So I would fully support Steve's suggestion.
Thanks. Yes, Olga.
Thank you, Chuck. If I may, point 5, I think it includes this option. Eligible organizations may opt to receive any, all, or none of the services as they see fit, provided that they provide sufficient notice as to be defined by ICANN staff. Maybe this is what you're...
I think that's a little bit different question, because that's the constituency saying, I know you're offering us B, organizing face-to-face meetings, but we don't want that. Instead, this constituency would be saying, yes, we want that, but we think it's more efficient to bring somebody on site, you know, rather than someone at the ICANN office.
Thank you. Yes, Philip?
And just to add to that, Olga, as a very good example, as a result of the business constituency using ICANN services for our mailing lists recently, that resulted in an unintentional breach of European privacy law that was caused by ICANN responding to an internal ICANN request of information actually that they should have kept much more secure on our behalf. And that would give us pause in the future in terms of, even if all these services were available absolutely free of charge, who would we want to do them? We may think, actually, you know, your systems may need to be improved before we can risk such a thing again.
Any other comments on this? Any other thing about the content of the recommendations and the report?
Just one other thing, which I was slightly confused in reading, and only skim reading, the minority report from Victoria, in that she seemed to be referring to an implication built into some of this that may result in the sort of, I know, enforced publication of all minutes or whatever, or a certain change in the current constituencies' decisions for communication and transparency. Was that point explicitly discussed, and is there an issue there, or is it just a misunderstanding?
And correct me if I'm wrong, Olga or Michael or any of the other working team members, but I think that is really bringing in some issues that are being considered in the other one or more of the other subtasks. And Victoria happens to be involved in subtasks 1 and 2, where some of those things come up. So I believe that is just a reference to those. Because
okay,
it was not a part of subtask 4.
We're doing, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I'd just like to reinforce that, Chuck. And this is why, I mean, one and two, subtask 1 and subtask 2 wouldn't be appropriate to separate those. and send them in individually because they are very related to one another. And this was one of the four subtasks that really was quite separate, which is why we suggested bringing it forward, and I think it was a good idea in the spirit of rolling things along. This work has taken, in general, longer than I think any of us had hoped for, and we were getting anxious that we had a piece of work done to at least give the OSC something to progress with.
Yeah, I can tell you that this... When was this finished, Julie? About a month ago?
Yeah, September 11th was when the final draft went to the team to consider.
So we've been grappling with this since then, and I'll just leave it at that. So any other questions or comments on content? Now, you guys may not appreciate this as much as we do, but this is very helpful for Olga and Michael in chairing and vice chairing this particular working team. So thank you for that. Now it's my opinion that it'd probably be okay if we just move this on to the council with the change that you suggested. Does anybody disagree with that approach? That'll just simplify it and going forward. Yes, Tony.
I don't disagree with the approach at all, but just a question related to that. Assuming that we do that and that the council could effectively take a decision on this Wednesday in their meeting.
We probably can't do it Wednesday. Excuse me. Probably can't do it Wednesday just because in this case we wouldn't have a good reason to violate our 7-day advance principle.
Okay.
But even though we're going to try to do that on another issue, but that's a totally different case.
Right. So let's assume it's the next council meeting. Assuming that it gets support from council, does that mean that we would expect the implications set out within this document are then taken forward by ICANN, that each of these issues, the services, can be looked at with a view to providing support pretty quickly?
Well, that was really my intent in the first place, is so that we could allow staff some time, let them get started. If the budget's there, I was, of course, representing the registry constituency, and I knew there were some of these things that we could really benefit from. We recognize it every time we hold a meeting. And so the idea was for constituencies and stakeholder groups that we might be able to make these services available sooner and therefore help us in the jobs that we have. So you're right on target there, Tony.
That was exactly why I was asking, because I had the same view. Some of these things in here would be extremely helpful, certainly for our constituency, and we would really welcome that level of support as soon as possible.
I would say exactly the same for our constituency.
And that was my motivation, not just for us. I thought all of us could. So thank you for that. Now, unless there's anything else on this one. Yes, Olga.
This is the reason that we wanted this document to be sent to the OSC, but it took us some time. That's okay.
Now, it seems to me that several of you made statements that I think are very helpful in a broader sense than just this issue. And that is that, you know, to the extent that elements of the work of any of the work teams are distinct enough from and not interrelated, like several of you said, not interdependent, then there's no reason to hold up some part of the work that's done and just to wait for everything else to be done. I mean, is there agreement on the steering committee? Anybody disagree with that principle? Again, recognizing that if there are interdependencies that really do, I mean, and Michael mentioned one of those, the subtasks 1 and 2 in our case of this work team. So those probably are so closely interrelated that it wouldn't make sense to do that. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, I think it's hard to state a flat rule about this, but I think in this case the leadership of the team thought it was sufficiently independent to move forward, and I certainly support their decision.
Philip.
If we're now submitting this report as amended by this steering committee to the council, does it become our report? In which case, I would like to move that we have a report that's about 3 pages long and is easy to read and easy to digest, and we make a reference in it to other material that is unnecessary, such as minority reports, because they were about the process of the subgroup reporting to the steering committee. They're all there and linked to people who want to go and read them. But we do not confuse our colleagues and repeat all this clarifying conversation again, if we're choosing to do that. And we call it our report as a steering committee.
Any objections to that?
I do agree that we should send a more compact document with the proposal we are doing, and all the comments are something annex.
Julie, are you clear on that? So you could redo this and okay?
Yes, absolutely. I'll redo the document. I'll annex the minority reports and include links to them as references.
Well, I mean just links, not annexes.
Just links. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I think we've covered that, and I appreciate that. And hopefully you have a little bit of understanding of why this was our main item. And hopefully that will facilitate the working team's progress going forward. Let's then take a few moments. I don't want to take more time than we really need, but since we're on the constituency, by the way, let me raise another issue, and this comes out of the minority reports, but the issue was made that the board recommendations didn't say anything about stakeholder groups. Very early in this process, we concluded that, you know, what applied to constituencies should apply to stakeholder groups on the new model. As you noticed, there was, one of the minority reports at least, there was a statement made that there's nothing in our charter about stakeholder groups. Is there any disagreement with my conclusion that stakeholder groups, the principle of the board recommendations really applied to stakeholder groups as much as constituencies? They just didn't exist when the board first drafted the recommendations. Any disagreement with that? Philip?
Not a disagreement, but I'm struggling a bit with this concept of eligible organizations of which stakeholder groups and constituencies may be a part, as opposed to we're only talking about constituency groups and constituencies and stakeholder groups. I think that clarity would help. Certainly, if I was a budget officer in ICANN, I would also like to know precisely what the scope was of an application like this, which has finance attached to it.
One of the reasons for that was there may be cases where working groups could use some of these services or things like that. So I think that's why that was done. Now, do you think that it would be better just to restrict it to constituencies and stakeholder groups?
Personally, yeah, because the working groups are working groups of council, and they're supported by the normal council procedural things. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, you know, I think it just makes it confusing.
Sure. Any objections to that? Very good. Okay. Got that. Excellent. Okay. Olga, let me give you an opportunity, and let's keep this brief. They don't need a detail-by-detail summary, but just in terms of a brief progress report of the other tasks.
Thank you, Chuck. Let me find all the subtasks. I had just had them here. We have two main tasks, and we divided our first task and subtasks. I know it's very confusing, but it's not very difficult. We divide it into 4 pieces, the first task. First one is developing recommendations for a set of participation rules and operating procedures with all constituencies should abide by. This is held by a sub-working team in the working team. led by an individual. He is SS from India. And there is a draft document already for revision for the whole working team. We hope to have a revised version of all this, the draft document, perhaps in 3 weeks from now, by mid-November. The second subtask is led by Victoria, and the idea of the document is developing recommendations for clear operating principles for each constituency to ensure that all constituencies function in a representative, open, transparent, and democratic manner. This document still need revision from the sub-working team because there are people who commented and these comments have not been already included in the draft version, so it will take some more time for the whole working team revision. And then subtask three, luckily we have Krista here, but she is ready to send a finalized draft document for the whole working team revision. So perhaps if I'm not mistaken, I would say that in 3 weeks, 2 weeks from now, we could have all the three pieces that are as ongoing draft documents with a complete revision by the working team. Then we have to move to task two that we couldn't already review, which is develop a global outreach program to broaden participation in current constituencies. So once we finish task one, we will go for task. So this is more or less the situation.
Thank you, Olga. Julie, could you put up the membership of that particular work team? And the reason I'm suggesting that is we ended up, it took a while, but we ended up with pretty good representation from all the constituencies and stakeholder groups. And so you may want to identify somebody in your area that you could test some of this on and see how it's going for them. I'm not saying you need to do that. I just thought it might be helpful if you know who your representatives were in that particular area. Okay? Thank you. Okay, let's go then to Ray on the, and of course they've already got a product that we're voting on Wednesday with regard to at least a subset of the operating procedures for the council.
Great, thanks, Chuck. Ray Fassett here. I want to just briefly discuss the council rules of procedure document in a couple of respects. One, I just want to clear up some confusion that this requirement that the chair needs to be a member of the council, that is actually not the case, and I wanted to reaffirm that because we just had a work team meeting, and I wanted to hear from the group if that was the case or not. And in fact, no, it isn't. So I wanted to make sure to communicate that to the OSC. And that is consistent, of course, with the rules of procedures that will be voted on Wednesday. So there's that issue that I wanted to just clarify. And then secondly, there were some minor edits that were done at the last minute to the rules of procedure that just didn't get into the final version of the rules of procedure. But they were important edits. Not substantive changes, just clarifying the language. For example, you know, we went through with a microscope to make sure that, you know, when it pertained to voting, that it was for each house, for example. And we went through very hard to make sure that was the case all the way through the document. Well, for whatever reason, in the one that got published, there are still a couple instances in there where it says both houses, and it doesn't change the spirit of it or even the interpretation of it, but there are some edits that we have to go back in and fix. So as a plan of action, and as we discussed in our work team just prior to this, we're going to make those edits. We intend that this rules of procedure will be approved by the council, and then we're going to come back post-Seoul real quick and offer up these few edits, get them into the document, and then get them back in front of the OSC for their review and then an approval. So I just wanted to provide that update. That's it.
Ray, question. Obviously, the document management process, there was some failure there. Has the source of that been identified so that less lessen the chance in the future?
Yeah, Julie's actually can probably answer that better than me. Go ahead.
So I did a little bit of research. We had been circulating a document up until through, I'd say, the 22nd of September when the document was going to go to the council that had a number of very detailed changes that the work team had worked through that were also in coordination with ICANN legal staff. Unfortunately, we determined now today that there was an earlier version of the document that was under a parallel review, and that earlier version of the document got substituted for the later version when it came back out of that review process, and at the last moment, that was the document that was put forth to the OSC, and that was a staff error that we've identified.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else on that? Now, is there anyone here besides Mason from the communications work team? He's not got a voice, so... Okay. All right, Julie, if you could do that for him, I think he'd appreciate it. We probably will too.
Yes, actually, Mason and I agreed that I could give the report on his behalf. If I say anything untoward, you can nod vigorously at me, and I'll put a stop. But the communications work team met earlier today and made great progress on a final set of recommendations. It was actually the full recommendations of the communications work team with relation to the tasks in the charter that came from the BGC report. And the determination in today's meeting was that there were some minor changes to the recommendation document, which we discussed today, and work team members will be reviewing the document one final time through this Wednesday, and then I will be making the final changes on Thursday, and the document will be ready to submit to the OSC on Friday the 30th.
And Krista, if I can put you on the spot, I probably will, whether you think I can or not, but you're going to communicate some of the subtask three from your work team relates a little bit to the website requirements, and you're going to coordinate with that work team in that regard, right?
Okay. Yes, and I've actually already started doing that.
So. Excellent. Thanks. Okay. Thank you. And thanks, Mason, for the good work you're doing and leading that group. I appreciate that very much. Any questions or comments on any three of the OSC work teams? All right. And then does anybody have any other business? Yes, Tony.
But just thinking about going forward, it appears that in some of the working groups, they've got more work to do than others. And I'm just wondering about the future schedule and the way that the OSC would work, because it would be useful to understand what the timelines are now for finishing some of this work. And if it's proving that the problems are pretty insurmountable, we may need to think about setting a deadline where the issues that people are struggling with are referred back to the OSC, where perhaps we could give some guidance on how to proceed. For instance, if there are specific issues which are proving problematic, it may be useful to have a report put forward with the work that has been agreed up to that time, and maybe a separate report detailing what the issues are that they can't resolve, so that we can deal with that. I wondered if we could think about doing that, maybe having some form of a hard line date when we can do such a review.
Would it help? Thank you. I think that's good. Would it help to have each of the chairs of the three work teams maybe give us what their projected timeline is right now? No, I don't mean today. I mean in the next couple weeks. and then see, because some of them may be close to finish and may not have any. That's why I'm thinking that would be helpful to have, and then come back and revisit what you're talking about as maybe an approach in cases where it's needed. Would that be helpful?
That would be ideal, I think, Chuck.
Okay. Yes. Philip?
I support fully that suggestion, both of them. And indeed, if there is certain work, you know, being completed, or even if there's a group who feels that it's done all it can do at that level, because certain decisions may simply need to be elevated to council to take if they become that type of substantive decision, to have that clearly indicated to us, and for the chairs to indicate their own estimate of expiry of the group. I think as we see we can shut down these groups, that will be the real indication of process of progress.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.